Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, it's hour four, G-Bag Nation, here on 105.3 The Fan. Standing by for, you know, any kind of news on the Cowboys. Hit and refresh. You can just go ahead and relax, go on about your day, your drive, your day of work, whatever it might be. Thanks for making us part of it. We'll get you updated as soon as anything develops. But right now, it's time for an edition of the football's finest with Eric Chiafalo, Chief.
I got my eye on Tom Brady. Did you see who he hired as the general manager?
I love it, man. I love it. Spy Tech, right?
John Spy Tech. He's hiring a literal spy to be the man that coordinates his personnel. I mean, if that's not a Brady Belichick move.
Was John there while he was at with the Bucks?
I do believe so. Yes. Yeah, he's the Bucks assistant GM to John Light. So
played with Jason Brady Light, at Michigan.
Jason Light, excuse me.
In 1999. So they were on the Michigan Wolverines together. They go back all the way to college. But yeah, they were together in that Bucks Super Bowl team.
I love Tolo texting into Sean and RJ this morning being like, man, you know, it's crazy because Brady was just singing all the praises of Mike McCarthy this year during the Cowboy broadcast. Why haven't the Raiders brought McCarthy in for an interview? He was just blowing gas. None of that was real. All these guys that are talking about, yeah, McCarthy. I mean, Brady literally has a chance to bring McCarthy in for an interview. Don't believe that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of these guys are just afraid to offend somebody. They want to talk good about everybody.
Except I like Wolchuk, when we asked. Wolchuk's not afraid to offend anybody.
I asked when we asked Schlereth last night about Schottenheimer. He's like, yeah, you know, I like him.
I think he's a good dude.
Potentially a good person.
I think we all liked Brian Schottenheimer as well.
Loved his dad. That offense worked. I mean, 30 years ago, that offense was cranking.
But with all due respect, stay the hell away from my football team as head coach.
Ball security, man. Protect the ball. That's what you got to do. You win championships.
I'm here to offend the hell out of everyone.
Well, you almost win championships protecting the ball.
If he would have protected the ball, he would win a championship.
Oh, that's right. A lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
A lot of
back-to-back years.
Shooting yourself in the foot kind of deal.
He did have, if you look at coaches, for like maybe the most heartbreaking
playoff losses. Dude's got 200 wins, man.
Schottenheimer.
He's there, Marty. Dude.
Yeah, brutal.
He is the man of all of that. It sucks.
Best bifocals in coaching history as well. It's an iconic silhouette.
George Halas.
I hadn't heard the word Spy Tech since the late 80s, though, with the great commercials back in the day. Remember those, Brian?
Where you Spy Tech.
Yeah, the kids would spy on each other.
Oh,
and you get like a little, you know, microphone that you could like spy on your sister or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Tyco Spy Tech. Remember that? Spy Tech, 1989?
I didn't. I had electric football back then, I think.
You're more of a football guy.
I wasn't into technology like you were, Dawson.
Gadgets.
I never had any of the Spy Tech. I always thought the commercial was cool, but my parents were too cheap to get it. I think it retailed for like $1.50.
Well, they didn't want to be nourishing a peeping Tom.
We had the X-ray glasses, is what we at the back of the comics. X-ray, you can get buy these glasses.
Oh, those were ball sack glasses for sure.
Really ball sack
glasses. You can see X-ray vision through these stupid things that are going to break in five seconds.
That and the sea monkeys. Get those. You ever seen those?
Brine shrimp.
The sea monkeys?
Yeah. Shrimp, little shrimps.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not familiar. Well,
grow up.
Are Eagles fans dumb enough to actually buy what apparently the Eagles are selling? Courtesy of Darren Revell.
Without knowing what they're selling, absolutely, Chief.
It's a $50 pint of what is alleged to be authenticated snow from their divisional round playoff win against the Rams.
Not in.
That's a ball sack.
I'd take a little patch of grass.
It's a ball sack. What are you doing over there? That's a ball sack.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Ray Davis thinks that's genius.
Yeah, that's a ball sack.
What are these costing? $60 a glass?
$50 a pint of snow from that's allegedly authenticated. I wonder how they went about
off the field?
Authenticating. Yeah, I believe so. Off the field. Perhaps it was from anywhere on the grounds of Lincoln Financial.
Okay.
Might have been out in the parking lot.
No.
An Eagles fan was drunkenly urinating on some of this snow before the game kicked off, and probably shortly thereafter as well. But yeah, that's being sold right now. I don't know. Like, is that something you really want to have? You have to keep it in your freezer for the rest of time.
Mm-hmm.
How are we keeping these things? Like, I don't know if you just can evaporate, actually deliver them or whatever.
Yeah, you know, I suppose you take care with the packaging. I you know, I'm in for a patch of grass from an iconic spot like the old Globe outfield or something, ALCS 2010. Bang, you know, you plant that in your backyard, you grow all the grass around it. That sounds cool. I think a chair from a stadium, you know, is good, but I'll pass on the snow or water, whatever state that it's in.
Yeah, yeah, that's ridiculous, but that's what the Eagles are doing right now. Okay, let's get to the of course the game of the year. I mean, Bills Chiefs,
Commanders Eagles,
and Walchuk has already stepped out of his Chiefs comfort zone and gave us the stone cold lead pipe lock of the championship football weekend, and he's giving it to Josh Allen and the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those reasons would be. The Bills have 8 turnovers all season. Just 4.2% of Bills' offensive possessions this season have resulted in a turnover. That's the lowest rate for any offense in the last 25 years. And you just saw firsthand just how taking care of the football can win you games, even if you're not doing explosive electric things. You saw that over the weekend. Now, it's not to say I don't
even worked with Cooper Rush. One of the worst productive quarterbacks in all of the NFL.
Just taking care of the ball. Now, of course, you couple with the Bills here. They make it to the championship game. They have a great rushing attack, and they have a great quarterback who's taking care of the football and also making electric plays. Now, he didn't have to versus the Ravens necessarily, but that's one of those signs that you can point to. Like, the Bills have been a team, and Josh Allen, one of the craziest like character arcs ever, being just the most turnover worthy type dude you've ever seen in your life, to now being able to take care of the football the way he has. Like, it's sort of unprecedented. I feel like a guy who goes from being a turnover machine, mm-hmm. not just in college, but in the NFL. And then now it's the lowest rate for any offense turning the ball over in the last 25 years. I mean,
final evolution of him.
Pretty crazy.
He did it. I mean, it was one thing to become accurate and be able to drop the ball in between levels. And, you know, everything that he had to improve on from his rookie year to his second and third year, I thought it was too much to overcome. But to add this to his resume, if you can take care of the football like that, you're going to be in the conversation if you can win a couple of Super Bowls for one of the greatest QBs of all time.
Well, the Bills' right tackle, Spencer Brown, thinking about the idea of beating the Chiefs, he says it's either going to be super celebration party or me in a 24-pack by myself. That is the picture he's painting. If you win, it'll be a celebration. If not, it's just him in a 24-pack. And I'm sure he could punish that in a big way. He's a giant human being.
I mean, it's a win-win if you ask me.
I know. It kind of feels like it is. And that'll be something we talk about. Like, if the Bills do beat the Chiefs, are we going to have a bit of a letdown situation? You have a couple of weeks before the Super Bowl, but that's going to feel like their Super Bowl. That is going to feel like the monkey's off our back here.
No.
I'm just saying.
No, they got to
watch
win
out.
They got to win. And the reason is we've seen this before, as I mentioned, with like San Francisco beating Dallas, Indianapolis beating New England. Like, those teams did go on and finish it. And I think Buffalo would be in line with that. I don't think anybody coming out of the NFC, Eagles or Commanders, are beating either the Chiefs or the Bills.
Well, you have, we know the ref conversation when it comes to the Chiefs is a huge talking point. Cleet Blakeman as the head official, Chiefs 5-5. Bills 6-2. So the Bills actually have performed pretty well with old Cleet as the ref. So just something to monitor there. You also have, I mean, the haters are coming out of the woodworks. We'll hear from Mad Dog Russo in the sports sound or sounds of the sports day coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. But Marlon Humphrey, corner for the Ravens, he just tweeted out, "I have no reason of saying this other than being a hater. The Bills or whatever NFC team got to beat the Chiefs. We can't let them keep getting away with this." So everybody, I mean, the Chiefs have everybody a little bit flustered right now and frustrated. And I just cannot wait for this game.
We've hit that point where we're no longer having fun and we want to tear the great down. I just keep pulling for the great, you know, unless he's super annoying or handsome like Tom Brady was. You know, I enjoy some dominance.
I'm with you. I absolutely love it, and I'm rooting for it. But I mean, this is going to be, it's very much so a coin flip game. Have we seen what the line is? What's happened with the line? Because it opened as a pick 'em.
I'll tell you right now.
It's like the Bills getting some respect there.
Can I give you like the nerdiest stats of the nerdiest stat?
For Kansas City minus 1.5, Brian.
Yeah, I'm at two here.
To talk about Deion Dawkins, you know, the tackle
for the Bills.
He's aligned with the widest average split, 1.97 yards from the guard in 2024 of any tackle in the season dating back to 2016. In fact, Dawkins' last three seasons ranked the top five widest average splits by a left tackle over that span. Dawkins' average split of nearly a full foot wider than the average tackle.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, is that kind of a weird thing? But you're thinking about trying to keep guys wide. Like that, you think about that extra yard that maybe they have to, that 2 yards that they have to, a rusher has to travel on him. That not, you know, and now your quarterback, you know, Allen's is getting rid of the ball. It is that, we don't even think about splits, but here this guy is taking advantage of that in the way that he blocks. And maybe that's going to, that's his plan for keeping these edge rushers, just giving his guy just that little bit more of an opportunity.
Yeah, I wonder how vulnerable that makes you to the interior stuff.
The Bills' offensive line as a whole had played 80% of the snaps this year.
They've been healthy.
That's the best in the league.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They got some road graders.
And you blitz them and all that. They're even better than that. There's a lot of really cool. But I thought that was just one of those kind of those nerdy metrics. Like, you don't think anything about split, but maybe it does make a difference when you got a quarterback that gets rid of it like Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll tell you what, a lot of fans, a lot of Chiefs haters are clamoring to get the other Hollywood starlet that is a part of this this matchup to Arrowhead so that we can see her instead of Taylor Swift so much because Josh Allen is engaged to movie star Haley Steinfeld. And so now she's a little bit more like, I mean, I haven't seen her pop up in any NFL games.
She likes being private. So does Josh. They like to keep this. I think the only public picture they have that they've posted is like their engagement.
Their actual engagement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep their relationship pretty close to the vest.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, dude, get her to the game. I don't know how that would work. If you're Kansas City, are you giving her a suite? I don't think you're doing that. If this is in Buffalo, it's a no-brainer, but I don't think you're going to allow.
He can buy a suite.
Yeah, they can afford it.
He can rent one.
So she can afford
it. Just go ahead and come out of pocket for it. Yeah. They're not going to deny it.
I'm sure the Bills have got some suites that they have that the league gives them, and they could put her in one of those suites for sure.
Players demand it.
Yeah.
Speaking of suite, did you guys see the Caleb Williams reaction? He says, according to Stacey Dale, she said, Caleb Williams said he let out a loud scream when he got the call that Ben Johnson would be his next head coach. I just wonder how that scream sounded. But Ben Johnson, we've all been wondering how he sounds.
I wouldn't want my story covered like that. It was a primal yell, you know? Mm. Nobody's screaming about it. What do you think I am? One of the Beatles super fans here?
Woohoo! Yeah!
You think it was kind of a woohoo kind of deal? I think there's a chance. Well, here's Ben Johnson. Everybody's been wondering like what type of command he has, what type of confidence he has. We know he's a great play caller, but what's the deal? He was taking some shots. He was at the height of confidence here. We'll start with the joke that he makes at the end. He's got a lot of respect for the other head coaches in the NFC North Division. Take it away. New head coach of the Bears, Ben Johnson.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell. You're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
And then he just had the biggest S-eating grin on his face
that
you've
ever seen.
He was expecting
more of a laugh from everybody.
Yeah, not really a good response. Tough crowd there. Huh?
Yeah.
I'd give that a thumbs down for initial impression. First impression, no swag.
Yeah, he was probably, you know.
I think just the balls to do that. Nobody's doing that. Now, I'm assuming him and Matt LaFleur probably have a great relationship. They're probably good buddies. I don't know.
But it's Packers Bears. I think the head coach of the Bears is usually going to take a dig at the Packers. I kind of expected a little bit of that.
Right. You want to crotch first that? You crotch first that punchline. He sort of backed into it. You know,
I did like the squirmy. Smile though. Like the visual of it kind of made it better.
I thought it was, I'm like checking it to make sure this wasn't a AI ball sacking thing. I really was, because I didn't know what he sounded like. I was like looking at it intently, but that's a real clip. He actually said that at his presser today. And then they asked him about, because we remember the play from a few weeks ago, Lions in Chicago, and they pull off the sort of the stumble bum play where they fake like a play action and they're tripping around and then they throw a touchdown off it.
Yeah.
And that was something that they saw from the Packers a couple of years ago versus the Bears. And it was an accidental thing with the Packers. They actually tripped and then ended up scoring a touchdown on it. And Ben Johnson was like, oh, I'll just design this and we'll score. And that's what he did. And so they asked him about that particular play. And if whenever he was coaching versus the Bears this year, if it was sort of like a job interview for him.
Ben, to your left.
Yeah.
The stumble bum play that you hit the Bears with.
Did you like that one?
It was clever.
As a Matt LaFleur special.
was that the start of your job interview here, or were you just showing off?
I don't know about that.
Just trying to play coy with it a little bit, but I mean, I sense the big time confidence off of him there.
He's very confident. He's going to come in here and get the job done. And I did think I liked when he put up the hands, you know, to tell your left from your right, mm-hmm. which one makes the L. He had to do that there when he was like to your left. Put that up there. I do that too from time to time.
I don't know if I want my offensive coordinator doing that, but it's apparently working out for him. Yeah, I guess head coach now. And then how about Michael Kay on his radio show yesterday saying that there's word out there, leaks that he's heard, that whatever the Jets pay Aaron Glenn, he's made it known that he would like to keep Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Glenn, of course, gets the job. This was yesterday, Michael Kay saying this. And now Aaron Glenn is the head man with the Jets, and Michael Kay, certainly in the know, is like, yeah, Aaron Glenn wants Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see how that plays out, but I don't know what other team's going to want Rodgers. I have no idea, and he's only going to want to play for contenders for the most part.
Yeah, so Jerry Fowler thought that he was probably going to have to retire.
I mean, it might be politicking. I'm not going to say anything bad about any player on my first week on the job that might end up staying here, but I think it's probably a wise strategy. Like, if you stick with Rodgers in year one and it doesn't go well, that's your scapegoat. You move on from him. You restart your clock. Now you got 2 or 3 years with a new quarterback to sort of, you know, allow your time to go. But, man, I guess Aaron really loves that organization or loves living in New York, because I don't know how you take that job and be excited about anything right now. It's a dumpster fire that just started. You need to let that thing burn out probably for a good 24 months, get you a clean slate if you're going to have success.
Yeah, that's tough sledding right there with the Jets, man. That's a stay away.
Thank you, Chief. It's time to hit the expressway. How bad a shape are the Mavs in? What is the latest with Schottenheimer's interview with the Cowboys? Stick around. We have the latest coming up next on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back, Nation. Let's hit the expressway. We're about to go commercial-free to the top. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the expressway itself is brought to you by the on-time experts. Lucius Alexander has LA Live coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. But we want to know, what is your reaction if it is Schottenheimer? Second day of interviews. I've been looking for that tweet that this has concluded and there's nothing new to report, or Schottenheimer is going to be the head coach, or, you know, maybe Nick Harris is going to be proven right on this, which would be outstanding for him. I think he does have a tremendous amount of credibility and momentum as a reporter. I think he's done a wonderful job, but he's saying this is an OC interview, and it would, you know, be strange. We just talked about it about 45 minutes ago for you to do 2 days of interviews in a row about OC, but there are potential explanations. Okay. But it really looks like a head coach interview. If this is the case, or it's something equally disappointing, would it break your relationship with the team more than it already was? You know, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you at 877-881-1053. Leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous. You know, I'm to the point I have given up hope until they draft a dominant roster. So I think of, you know, this next head coach kind of in a no-win situation already. I think the next 3 to 5 years might be a really dark period for this organization. You know, but I think I'm already kind of there. You know, I don't think I've bought any Cowboys gear in 4 or 5 years. You know, so I would need to get my hopes up to have them further crushed. And I said it in Crosstalk today, I don't think I've really believed since Travis Frederick retired and Ezekiel Elliott got washed up. I've been waiting for them anxiously to rebuild this offensive line. It's been my theme of the offseason for 4 years in a row now, right? Invest heavily in this offensive line. And, you know, they just haven't done enough, or haven't hit on enough of the right players yet. I thought the extension for Terrence Steele was just nearly unforgivable, but hilariously on trend of them, you know, favoring their own players more and rewarding them more than they should. You know, if you want to build a great offensive line, look, if you have the kind of quarterback or the kind of scheme that doesn't require an offensive line, you know, to be excellent, then have at it. But, you know, that's kind of where I am at 877-881-1053. I do look forward to getting your feedback here in just a moment. There is a lot of talk today about the Chiefs officiating. And are they getting an edge? Bill Barnwell did a deep dive on this, didn't he, Wolchuk?
Yeah, he did one earlier on in the week, and it seemed like that was a fallacy. It just wasn't accurate in terms of the calls against the Chiefs and for the Chiefs. It's pretty much 50-50. I mean, they go hand in hand. So I know we had somebody that texted and said it was 2-1. Maybe we looked at two completely different things, but it was not that the Chiefs are getting the benefit of a bunch of calls. It's pretty damn even between the two.
Yeah, I think over a large sample size, every team is getting calls, probably in every single game, that either help or hurt your chances of winning in a significant way. The Chiefs win a lot. They're maybe the most clutch team we've seen since the Joe Montana 49ers in the 80s. Like, the way that they figure out ways to pull things off, and I think, you know, on a run of dominance, people are going to get fed up and annoyed, and those things are magnified on a bigger and bigger stage as your dominance continues. Chief, do you have anything that supports the idea that the Chiefs are getting more of the benefit of the doubt?
I saw from Warren Sharp that just specific to the playoffs, 10 games, the Chiefs had fewer penalties than their opponent. 0 games, the Chiefs had more penalties. So now, obviously, that's a smaller sample size, and we know the Chiefs.
10-0?
10-0 in terms of, there's 11 playoff games. In one of those playoff games, they had equal penalties to their opponent. The other 10, the other team had more penalties.
Did he break down how far the discrepancy goes? Like, is that where the 2-1 text came in?
I don't know if that's where it came in. He's got the regular season stuff I can dig into a little bit more. The regular season stuff seems like it's not that big of a deal. It's mostly the playoff games that stand out.
Okay.
But I think you could also just... They are a championship team for a reason. They have good coaches. They're a disciplined football team. It's not a surprise that they're showing up and they're not shooting themselves in the foot.
Yes.
But
especially the way Andy Reid practices, you know, yeah, a lot of physical practices, a lot of padded practices.
Yes.
It would make sense that they would be better at executing without committing penalties.
Yeah, when you see everything about the Chiefs get better once you get into the postseason, year in, year out, everything about their football team gets better.
Yeah.
So that's just another thing that they're super detailed and dialed on.
You know, in basketball, I know the 2006 final was a massive rob job, and the amount that D. Wade got to the free throw line was insane. It should have never happened. But I think in basketball, a lot of times you're like, man, that team keeps getting to the free throw line. Well, they get you out of position, you know, and right. then you're trying to challenge a shot from the side or a bad angle. You're not square. And that is what the great players like a D. Wade or you know, a Kobe Bryant or James Harden are able to do. Mavs story, speaking of hoop, biggest injury maybe of the season so far. This is, you know, maybe more impactful than Luka's because we don't know how Derek Lively will be able to come back out 2 to 3 months here with a hairline fracture in his foot or something, a broken bone in his foot. And these things can be very tricky. You know, Kevin Durant tried to come back from one of these once late in a season, re-injured it, had to be out like another 6 months from that point. So we're hoping for the best for Derek Lively. But this could be season ending for him, you know. And if that's the case, you know, would you move to a tank posture now? Did this sort of become the straw that breaks the camel's back for you guys as you're looking at this Mavs team? Is there still hope? Should they start tanking now?
I don't think there's any hope at a championship.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think as long as you have Luka back, you can make a run. Luka dragged a team that was not, I don't think anywhere close to as talented as this is, even with the injuries and no Lively, to a Western Conference championship. So you can make a run at this thing. I don't think you're winning a championship without Derek Lively. I think he is that important.
I mean, but the math says he should be back mid to late March.
So then you got a shot. Like, if you're able to, if you can even get him until in May,
yeah.
Like I think you can win a series without him potentially. But then again, like when they played Minnesota, part of that was the two bigs, like Gafford and Lively. Like, that helped with the matchup. That's going to help you match up against Jokic and the Nuggets, I would think. If you don't have the two bigs, that will probably hurt you. But Luka is so great, and we've seen Kyrie also play at an MVP level at times this year. We'll see about the back.
Yeah, I mean, that right there, that's huge. But I can't trust the health of anybody on this team. This is a snake-bitten injury season. I'm just waiting for the next domino to fall.
Yeah, they in talking to folks over there at the organization, they used the word with me, reinvent. They have to reinvent themselves of how they play basketball. And so that means they're going to have to do some things with some adjustments, you know, with the lineups, maybe some substitutions, things like that. But that was the, I just, when in talking to them, that's all they kept saying. We got to reinvent ourselves. We got to reinvent. We were this. We're not that anymore.
You have to find a way to play great defense again.
That's kind of where they're at right now.
And he gave you an anchor and rim protection and a guy that kept players out of the paint. That Gafford, for all of his activity and rebounding and shot blocking potential, just he doesn't give you, you know. So I would say internally, guys, let's be honest. Does Lively have an injury that is likely to extend beyond 3 months? Do we want to shut him down? Like, are we putting him further at risk if we bring him back in April and May? You know, and maybe publicly right now, you don't want to deflate the bubble too much because, you know, there's still a lot of fan interest and a lot of TV ratings to be had still. And you don't want to deflate your fan base. But internally, if we're feeling that way, you know, if Luka comes back and gets injured again shortly after the All-Star break, you know, I love what Nico did in the Derek Lively draft. You know, I believe in him and I would love to see what another, you know, lottery pick, even if it's in the mid-teens, could produce for this basketball team. That might be, you know, the best sort of asset management you could do from this
point. I wonder how forward thinking they would be on some of that stuff because you have the trade deadline on the front end of all this. So how does that change things for you? Because, yeah, after if Luka comes back and then gets banged up again, and now it's like, dang, we missed an opportunity at the trade deadline to try and be some level of a seller. I don't think you could really get anything for Klay Thompson. I don't think they would be able to do much with that. But, I mean,
maybe an expiring contract.
Depending on the back of Kyrie Irving.
Yes, like, I mean, that's another one. Yeah.
Like that would be a guy that if he's healthy, he's playing really awesome basketball. You can get something serious for him if he's healthy.
Yeah, but I mean, your three of your best players with Luka, Kyrie, and Lively have the kind of injuries that could, you know, continue beyond their anticipated return. If you feel like Irving needs back surgery, you know, and we're delaying that until the offseason. Now, I do believe if this team can figure out a way to be 100%, by the time you get to the end of the season, I still do believe a championship is possible. You know, no matter how good OKC plays in the regular season, I think they're still a one-man superstar show. And if you can figure out a way to contain Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you're going to give yourself a path to victory over a seven-game series. I guess this would eliminate the possibility of trading Gafford. You can't do that now.
Mm-hmm. No. He's someone you can't afford to lose.
I'd maybe revisit that in the offseason, you know. And you know, on that, after next year, Gafford is going to be a free agent, and that is kind of why I'm thinking if there's any chance of getting the team back healthy and going for it this summer, you have to do it, because the Lively-Gafford combination gives you a chance to do battle with a Jokic. You know, it gives you a chance to out-rebound OKC, which is their only weakness still. Even though they addressed it in the offseason, they're still not a very good rebounding team. You're going to need those two studs. And right now, it's looking like after next year, going into the free agency of 2026, you're no longer going to have that two-headed monster at center. And I want to try to maximize what that brings between now and then. We also have to talk about how injury prone is Lively going forward. You know, is this a building block type of player, or is this a guy you're just waiting for his next injury? I saw a Mavs account that posted a get well soon Lively with the picture and everything. The picture they used is of him last year with that face mask on because he had a broken nose. I mean, it is, I think it's 7 or 8 injuries over 2 seasons. Now, the great news with Lively, we've stayed away from the catastrophic stuff. There's no ACLs, there's no patellas, there's no microfracture surgery, there's no Achilles tendon so far, there's no back surgery. So as long as you continue on this pace and he's just missing 1 out of every 4 games, that's very manageable, right? And it's not uncommon for guys over 7 feet tall. I'd be willing to deal with that at this point, but this is definitely one of those that's his most significant injury yet.
It is. And it's and they're unfortunate injuries. Like, I think injury prone, I mean, it's constant, you know, things that these are things out of your control. I'm landing on somebody, and so now I'm breaking a foot. It's like Josh Young. Like, it's tough because Josh Young and his injuries are also like, I'm playing baseball, I'm getting a line drive that just nails my wrist, and now my wrist is broken. I think Lively and Josh Young are very similar here, where it's like, I don't know that I want to throw an injury-prone label, but yeah, I mean, they have had an issue being available. I guess if the injuries start to become where it's like, oh, my hamstring, or, you know, just little soft tissue stuff, then I'd throw that on there. But if they continue to just be things that are out of your control, it's just unfortunate. It's just unlucky.
It is. And it all coincides, you know, coming up on 2 years since Casey Smith left as your trainer. He was on the bench. He had a prominent role. He was one of the celebrated members of this Mavs support staff. He worked with Team USA, did great work with Tyson Chandler. Your ability to remain available with multiple guys has fallen off post Casey Smith. And I trust the organization to leave no stone unturned. Of course, I don't want to be talking about, you know, people's jobs and medical staff. I know these guys all have great intentions. That's why they're in their field. You know, they like helping people stay healthy. They like helping people recover. But, you know, everybody's not built equal. In that regard, especially in the world of sports medicine, where at one point under Mark Cuban, the Mavs were innovators. You know, they were figuring out ways to test your blood and see what your fatigue levels were, and, you know, see that you needed a game off, and really trying to get into the science of predicting what are the variables that make guys get hurt. And I don't know if they're still on that line. You know, I hope they are, and if they're not, I think they should get back to it. I'd call up Casey Smith, but now he's working in New York. Injuries tonight, should they just forfeit? Jaden Hardy ankle, Najee Marshall ill, Grimes back trouble, Klay Thompson ankle, of course, Luka and Lively. Who all is playing tonight? Wolchuk, do we have ins and outs with these guys, or are they still mostly questionable?
I mean, I'm assuming Kyrie's in, but yeah, Najee Marshall's out for sure with an illness. Klay Thompson left ankle sprain is out, so you for sure won't have them. Quentin Grimes back spasms will play, so you've got Grimes, but this is obviously this is going to be a tough one. Gafford will be good to go, you'll have him, but goodness gracious, you're going to need a vintage Kyrie night, I suppose, if you want a chance to win.
214 asking, what about Dak? Is he injury prone? I would say absolutely. Yeah. I think we were in a similar spot with Tony Romo there in 2015, and then he had that preseason injury in 2016, and that was like the end of the line because they dealt with it so much up until that point. You know, I think we're at a place now where it's going to take multiple seasons without an injury. And guy pulled his calf doing a jump throw with New England. He pulled his shoulder muscle in that training camp, you know, from letting the ball go downfield. So, yeah, that's definitely part of my pessimism here. OKC is missing Chet Holmgren as well.
Okay.
So that's a good one. 682, maybe Jerry will use Brian Schottenheimer as a stopgap coach. Clearly, Shoddy doesn't mind being associated with bad teams. Right out the bleep storm. And rebuild after that. I could definitely see that. A lot of Mavs feedback. You know, I think Mavs fans are freaking exhausted right now. But I would say just try to weather the storm here for the next 2 to 3 months and see where you are. Because this Mavs team is better than they were last year with Derrick Jones Jr., adding Marshall, adding Grimes, getting more playmaking and scoring while still maintaining defense. They're deeper. You know, it's way better than the Mavs team that Luka drugged to the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago. So, you know, as long as there's a chance they can get healthy, I want to see this thing through. But it is probably the most frustrating season of Luka's career so far, and we need some positive developments. At least the Rangers are right around the corner, right?
Hell yes.
Speaking of being better than last year, time to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has a Wednesday night edition.
We don't know that yet. We don't know about better than last year. I haven't seen any ratings to show anything. It could have went kaput for all I know. You know what I mean? Yeah. It could be in the bottom of the bottoms for all I know right now.
You never know.
You never know. All right, let's get into a Butt Naked Wednesday right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. Make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
This is your first full season with the team. What are you most excited about?
Doing my black job.
It's Butt Naked Wednesday.
Doing my black job. Just doing my black job.
Coaching hoop.
Hey, this is LA Live for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2025. It is a Butt Naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Shout out to Miss Badu for naming today. Miss Erica Badu, that is. And peace to all the gods and earths out there. Peace, peace, God. Yo, peace, God. What's today's science, son? What's today's mathematics, son? Peace to y'all out there. And today's segment, LA Live, is dedicated to Miss Gina V on YouTube. I see you, Miss Gina. Hate on, girl. I see you. All right, let's get into it. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. I think I'm about to start using Facebook more, almost like how you used to use Twitter. Just bow, bow. Just bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow. You know, just a whole lot of press send a few times.
Empty the clip?
Just empty the clip on it. I think I might do that. I'm not telling you. I'm not sure. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is from the RJ and Choppy Show. Still day two, right?
Day two.
The day didn't change?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bobby Belt and Sean go back and forth over Coach McCarthy doing crosstalk.
By the way, Mike McCarthy is reporting that weather delays have prevented him from interviewing with the New Orleans Saints.
Mike McCarthy has a social media account?
I mean, he has several reporters that he feeds that information to that have since reported it this morning.
What is the real report?
There are several reporters saying, hey, Mike McCarthy's definitely interested in the Saints are definitely interested in weather has gotten in the way. So,
but why do you have to be so childish and petty about it?
I'm saying.
And
I'm telling you.
Why do you have to be like
there's nothing
so
petty
bitchy
about it?
About
I'm just
it.
Saying. It's great.
Like,
it's
gone. You won.
I assume it's Laura Oakman reporting
it. Why are you still just whiny and cheap about it?
What do you mean cheap?
cheap. You already won. What are you being so petty about it
I'm
for?
I'm just saying. It's the report
like,
that's out
like,
there.
Just celebrate it and be calm and cool and poised.
This is me celebrating right
No, you're being
right
freaking
now.
Petty and annoying about it.
I love it.
You want to get punched in the freaking face?
Oh, wow. Sean almost got thrown off the air right there.
Oh, yeah.
Never go full Chris Arnold.
What do you mean cheap?
Freaking peer.
<He's a> freaking peer.
What do you mean?
Only 3-time Hall of Famers can get away with that.
Yeah, keep talking. All right. Let's get into this little Wednesday vibes. Again, shout out Gina V. I see you, girl. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Butt Naked Wednesday. I have a question for the Tolos. I asked this on Facebook. What's a DFW sports scandal that lives rent-free in your head? Huh? What is a DFW sports scandal that
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Lucky Whitehead coming in off that night of Instagram living, just a wild night with a lady and showing up for the, what was it, team flight without any shoes?
I was waiting. I was waiting at the front desk where the players come through because one of the players was going to sign a ball for me. And Lucky came in, no shirt, like his slacks, no shoes. And like 10 minutes later, he was walking out, you know, like Garrett sent him home. Like, bro, you ain't traveling with us today.
Yeah. Him on home. I'll sleep it off on the plane, coach. I'm good.
Yeah,
well, we had the night show here at 105.3 The Fan. I used to leave here and go to La Zona Rosa. Not because of the girls. I mean, the atmosphere was amazing, but they had the fantastic nachos that the cook would only serve late at night. So I'll go fall through there, eat me some nachos. Guess who I always seen in the VIP?
Lucky Whitehead.
Hey! It's amazing how you pulled that off.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the White House, you know, I don't know if there's an individual scandal there, but just the whole concept of it.
Yeah.
That sounds so amazing.
This is a genius.
I think about the White House two or three times a year. Or a week, maybe. You know, just the idea of, like, we're practicing, but we're going to go here and party our balls off with a bunch of gals right afterwards.
You can see it from the practice field. And what's funny is, like, they used to have a guy, his name was Paco. And Paco used to, like, get on the lawnmower and drive around from the practice facility and cut the yard. So you, it's like you had the guys, like, they had guys in there that were changing out all the linen.
Yeah.
You know, had people going in and doing that, making sure the room was stocked up and everything. But yeah, Paco would drive the he would drive from Valley Ranch around it, through the neighborhood and mow the yard.
That's awesome.
While we were out there practicing.
Probably made good money right there.
Oh no.
Heck yeah, man.
It was Michael Irvin's guy.
Paco, I definitely good think guy. Terrence Williams and the scooter incident.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
That's classic.
And then Joseph Randall in the stealing of the underwear and cologne.
Yeah, I got that one right here. He definitely walked on out of there, buddy.
So weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, we understand now, right?
Don't we? Now we get it.
We totally get it now.
Oh, Sam Hurd.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That one was,
Sam
Hurd was really actually a sweet, sweet man. I mean, there was one day after a game, I stood there, little me, and he stopped and signed autographs for every single person that was waiting.
Yeah, was all six his of cousin them, huh? or something sold to
it was like
undercover?
30 people.
It was so it wasn't him actually touching the work.
No.
His cousin got caught up by an FBI.
He was like the VC.
You know?
He was like, oh, you need money?
This is your
business?
Let me front it
I'll
for
loan you.
You
some money so you can go do that and then bring me back the capital.
They said, I got you.
Yeah, Josh Hamilton at Sherlock's, I think, was one for a long time that I always thought about. We don't have the Sherlock's Bar and Grills around here anymore, but that was insane. I mean, he had gone straight. He's got the wife. The next thing you know, he's drunk at a Sherlock's being intimate in a restroom stall with a lady he just met. Unbelievable story.
Full Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, well, I think the gal was willing in this instance.
In this particular scenario. Yeah. I mean, you have the college coaches that went buck wild. You had Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
And his bit where he's in the bar, closes down.
He's under the table getting it.
He has a moment of intimacy with a woman. And then when asked about it, he's like, yes, we did, but it was very brief.
How about
threw himself under the table
How about
there.
Our coach from the Dolphins, the line coach?
Oh, Krista Forster.
Forster.
Oh, how do we get together?
Yeah.
By lines, you're talking about the lines he was snorting off of his desk at work at the Dolphins facility?
Yeah.
He was
but
one of
the line
coaches.
Wild.
Oh, this is DFW. Remember the TCU quarterback Casey Paul Hall that got like kicked off for selling weed? Because the police department there did like a months long investigation and they couldn't find anything, but they had to arrest somebody to justify their spending of taxpayer dollars. So,
yep, that was on the list. The TCU 2012 drug bust of the football squad. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they got their football team in. That was a low point for
the
program.
Wild right there. What's a DFW sports scandal that lives rent-free in your head? Tolo said 2006 NBA Finals.
That's good.
Yeah.
Tony Braxton breaking up the 3Js.
Yes.
Was that a rumor? I think that's a rumor. I don't think it really happened that way.
I don't know, but I'm sure CA would tell you.
He sure does. Yes, he knows. Well, let me tell you about Tony Braxton. And he's going to have a photo and everything. So this was the night I asked him about it. And he's like, God, dog it, bro. You need to sell cards.
So I was the fourth gen.
Yeah. When Dirk got catfished. Remember that?
Oh, yes, that was great.
Dude, that was huge.
2009 or so?
Yeah. She was putting that thing on him, bro.
Yeah.
He almost got married.
It was snapping.
How did he get catfished?
Oh, you don't know about this?
I don't know about the catfish.
Oh, man.
A gal with, like, multiple identities starts dating him, and...
She wasn't who she said she was.
Yeah.
But it was a she.
Yes.
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 Do you really want to hurt me?
This was like how much of a catfishing was this?
I think Broadus' dad and his buddies buying Eric Dickerson, that Trans Am.
Yeah.
You know, everything that went into the Pony Express thing was pretty incredible.
They were engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah, this all.
Yeah, he almost got married.
Yeah, that's something to look up, too.
And then they, a real name.
The one that got away.
And when they showed her photo when she was busted, everybody was like, whoa, whoa. Well, and she must have been putting it on. Good God. Tough to look at. Had to have a good time. Tough to look at. What's a DFW sports scandal that lives rent-free in your head? The Dez tape. You remember the Dez tape? How big that guy
is?
Yes.
Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Walmart tape. Oh, my gosh.
People insisting there was a tape.
Yeah. I mean, it's sitting on it, too. Standing on straight business. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Dez, how about the cap slapping? He popped his mama.
Oh, that's right.
There was some alleged drug use in his house, and he's like, hey, not here.
Yeah. He was kicking crackheads out of his house.
Come on, man. Yeah. And we got so mad at him.
We got so mad at him.
There was a time where the world was convinced there was never a moment where you could do any sort of act of aggression towards a woman as a man. And maybe many people in the audience still feel that way, but it really surged around that time.
Yeah, bro. You walking in with crackheads and y'all doing rocks in my living room? Nah, get out of here. Bugatti Casino stealing Lucky Whitehead's dog. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Barely.
Bugatti Casino. And he was like posting photos of the pit bull and everything.
He owed him money, right?
Yeah. Man, what kind of weird stuff? Speaking of dogs, how about Derek Holland's dog tearing up his knee?
That's right. Yes. You know, and he'd been playing hockey. There was a big scandal around that, but I think he needed microfracture surgery that time around, and they were thinking maybe he'd, you know, the dog had tripped him up as he was coming down some stairs. Mm-hmm. Speaking of dogs, the Rich Dalrymple scandal.
Oh, you know.
The cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
Yeah.
Let me get myself together. I shouldn't be laughing.
Didn't
like Dez
have a monkey, too? Wasn't there like a monkey?
Dallas.
DFW sports scandal that lives rent-free in your head. How about this one was mine because she got mad at me. Throatzilla and Lyle Collins.
Lyle Collins.
Throatzilla. She said, I want some money. And she put it on Twitter. Yeah, I ate the groceries and he didn't pay me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
Should be compensated for that.
Feed families for years.
Well, you gotta have a hella appetite, boy.
Starving.
I tell you what, Brian brought us snitching on Gavin in his confessionals.
Oh yeah,
Oh yeah.
Can't believe that was really that uncalled
for. We returned fire though.
Yeah,
I don't think your parents have even forgiven Brian yet.
I keep trying to tell them it was just a joke.
Yeah.
You know, they thought it was unprofessional.
Yeah, Carter told me that your mom was concerned. So you're back to drinking?
What happened, Gabby?
Jason Garrett getting to coach the Cowboys for 9 seasons. I thought that's an unforgettable scandal. I don't know who he had naked pictures of.
That's funny that you say that, because the next one was Jason Garrett sandbagging Wade Phillips to force him out.
That's good.
Good one. Oh, let me get my vibe right over here. But the car is on the road. Hey. Is that Michael Irvin assassination attempt? Was that the scissors?
Maybe the character assassin? Oh.
Was that the scissors? George Hegeman? Was it a training camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was getting a haircut by my man VC the barber.
Yeah, George Hegeman, I believe. Yeah, he went after him with the scissors.
Get your behind up. 90s Rangers? 90s Texas Rangers juicing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Juan Gonzalez. Was it Juan Gonzalez? Didn't they have, like, didn't his guys get popped in a Canadian airport? With bags of steroids.
That wasn't that Balco thing with Barry Bonds, right?
No, it was different.
Yeah, Balco different. That's the clear, baby.
Yeah.
Maybe you had Raffy going in front of Congress, shaking his finger at him.
Yeah, never. Yeah, that Balco stuff was good. Alex Rodriguez was allegedly getting his suppositories.
Yeah, that's how you preferred it.
Bro, you saw it.
Rumor has it.
That kid really wants to hit a home run. You dig what I'm saying? I really want to crush one of these balls out of here, dog.
Scared of needles, huh?
Yeah, wow.
What else we got right here?
Get in your system quick.
The 817, the T.O. suicide story.
Oh, yes. The Beals.
Yeah, and it was his PR lady. It's like he's got 25 million reasons why he should be alive.
Parcells was so mad at all of us for bringing him out there on that. Mm. Oh, God, he was mad at us.
That was a big old deal.
Yeah.
That was what did he do? He took too many Percocet or something?
Yeah, the hydrocodones.
Yeah,
after, she said he was sleeping, wouldn't wake up. It was kind of groggy and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, that means they're working, girl.
Mm-hmm. I think OBJ got thrown off a flight for that.
Sure did. Yeah, that was my first week at K104 when that happened, bro. It was
really?
A big old deal. It was a big deal. I was like, ooh, I get to see something.
They drug us out there for that at the Valley Ranch.
Yeah. One Tolo says Lamar Odom being hired as a Maverick was just a scandal alone. I think he was on that stuff, too, when he was out there playing for the Mavericks.
Hell yeah, he was.
He was famously on crack.
And boy, it was thirsty out there.
I mean, the car wrecks, the Josh Brent and the other gentleman in the 90s, those are more...
Jerry Brown.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Oh, I passed by that on the way home.
Dwayne Goodrich.
Los Colinas. Really? Yes.
Ooh. Dwayne Goodrich, another one. Yeah.
I remember we had a big fan event the next day. It was kind of somber out there at that Irving Convention Center.
You should
have seen us all getting on an airplane going to Cincinnati to play game.
Can't imagine.
The emergency vehicles weren't even there yet. It was just a cop.
Yeah.
And it was like maybe two cops. Damn. And they were sitting on their car like they weren't even touching the car anymore. Mm.
Yeah.
They were sitting upside down. They were just leaning on their car, just looking at it. And I was like, man, that must have been bad. I don't know what that is. And that's when the next day I heard that information. Like, we passed by, girl. The Jimmy and Jerry feud.
Yeah, absolutely.
This right here makes me mad. The Rangers no longer allowing fans to bring coolers of drinks.
Yeah, that was uncalled for, right?
Those must have been the days.
Man, I used to pack the sausage? Earl Campbell's. Mm. I used to have Earl Campbell's ready to go at the Rangers game.
Oh, they're so good.
Hot links.
Yes, or Zaka bottles full of rum. Full of rum.
Yeah, I like to stay hydrated.
Oh, yeah, DeAndre Jordan not signing with the Mavs.
Oh, that was wild.
They locked him up in a room so he couldn't. Oh, that was crazy.
They would take their calls.
Yes.
Cubans driving around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Cuban, how about a scandal? Cuban breaking up the championship team thinking he was going to sign Dwight Howard and CP3.
Well, and then not making, what was it, Derek Williams? Because he was filming Shark Tank. He, like, missed one of those free agent interviews because he was just filming the show.
Oh, yeah. He signed D. Will, like, 5 years later when he was more into MMA and golfing than hooping.
I think he went to Brooklyn at that time.
Mayor Miller not allowing the Cowboys to play in Fair Park made the scandal list.
Yeah, it's downtown stadium. Yeah.
What about the championship parade by Laura Miller? The plans there, she was planning to...
06 finals.
Cursed you.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Goodness.
Duncanville boys basketball team stripped of their state title. Girls team banned from the playoffs.
Ooh. Dallas Carter.
Oh, my gosh. Which is a pretty good movie on Netflix. But yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Is that 88? 1988?
Yeah, and the 30 for 30 they did again at Carter High is pretty darn good, too.
You couldn't convince me. Like, hey, man, I got a lick. All it takes for us to bring a gun. I'm not doing it.
No.
No. Bring a gun and a mask. I promise you, dog. We're going to be up. No, I'm good, fam. Last one right here, man. I guess this is a DFW scandal. Washington not replacing Nelly Cruz with Andy Chavez in the World Series.
No. Ron.
Well, Ron Wash just
told him
general.
No doubles once. You got to tell him no doubles every pitch. Nelly. I still haven't forgiven him for that, Woolchuck. I know we ran around about that a couple of years back, but I'm not forgiving him.
He took the wrong angle. All right, man. I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That is my time. Shout out to Gina V again. I love you, and I will holla.
There he goes. Lucius Alexander in L.A. Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Bullchuck, what are we doing next?
All right, we got nachos and cheese. A Big Ten coach is dunking on Feinbaum, and the biggest regret of Nick Saban's career. That's next in the nation.